Will you please turn to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. And as our Lord was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what is the sign of thy coming and the completion of the age?" Verse 37. "But as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not, till the flood came and took all away, thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 27. "For as the lightning goes forth from the east and shines to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man." Shall we pray? Lord, we are in thy presence, and we do remove our shoes, because we are standing on holy ground. We ask thee, Lord, that thou would deliver us from all that is of the flesh of ourselves. We pray that at this very moment, thou wilt speak through thy word to us, that we may not only understand, but we may enter into the spirit of thy word. Lord, we do pray that thy coming may not just be a knowledge to us, but we ask that thou create within us a longing for thy coming. Lord, we do commit this time into thy hands and trust thy Holy Spirit to do the work that thou hast ordained for this hour. We give thee all the praise and glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. As you know, we three brothers have our different assignments. And my assignment is on the Olivet Discourse, which is recorded in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. During my first session, we shared this matter on the signs of the time. Brothers and sisters, we are living at the end time, the last of the last days. And it behooves us to know the signs of our time. The reason for it is not that we may have some knowledge, but reason for it that knowing the signs of the time, we may know how to behave. We may know how to be ready, prepared before the Lord. Now this morning, we would like to go a step further. And that is, we would like to consider together before the Lord the coming of the Lord, or the parousia, because the word coming there is parousia, the presence of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 39, that is, our Lord Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those that are sent unto her, How often would I have gathered thy children as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye will not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall in no wise see me henceforth until ye say, Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus, he looked over this city of Jerusalem. He had visited that city time after time during his 3.5 years of sojourning in this world. But this, the last time he came to Jerusalem before his crucifixion, he looked over that city again and he wept over that city. He said, How I long to put you under my wings as the hen covers the chickens. But you were not. Therefore your house will be left unto you desolate. Then he said, You shall in no wise see me henceforth until ye say, Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. In other words, the Lord said, I have come to you again and again, and now this is the last time. I'm going to leave you. You will not see me again. I will be absent. Until the day that you say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Or literally, blessed the coming one in the name of the Lord. So there you find our Lord Jesus before his departure from Jerusalem, from the nation of Israel. And it will be a long absence. But he promised that he will come again. When they said, Blessed is the coming one in the name of the Lord, that is the time that he will return. Our Lord Jesus, about 2,000 years ago, he came the first time. When he came the first time, he came as the Lamb of God. He came to save, not to condemn. But he will come the second time. And when he shall come the second time, he will come as the Lion of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will come to judge and to rule. As his first coming is a fact, so shall be his second coming. In Matthew chapter 24, when the Lord left Jerusalem, left the temple, you remember the disciples came to him and said, Look at these stones and this building, magnificent, glorious. And yet the Lord said, There shall be no stone upon another stone. In other words, there will be complete ruin. So the disciples came to the Lord secretly when he sat on the Mount of Olives and said, When shall these things be? And what is the sign of thy coming and of the completion of the age? We already mentioned, when shall these things be, refers to not a stone upon another stone. And this was already literally fulfilled in A.D. 70. But then, in the question that the disciples asked, when shall these things be? And what is the sign of thy coming and of the completion of the age? Of course, with the disciples at that time, they did not know that there was a time gap between when shall these things be and the sign of thy coming and the completion of the age. To them, they thought that all these things run together. If Jerusalem should be destroyed, if the temple is destroyed, then suddenly the end of the age has come and the Lord shall return. They do not know, but we know today that there is the church age, the dispensation of grace, the long suffering of our Lord Jesus. When shall these things be has been fulfilled? And now it is, what is the sign of thy coming and of the completion of the age? The disciples, they believe in the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord that they believe does not refer to his coming in the Holy Spirit. We remember in John chapter 14, our Lord Jesus said, "Do not be grieved. I'm going, but it is for your benefit. I will come back again. I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you. And he will dwell in you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And the Lord said, "I'm coming to you. I'm coming." But of course, in John 14, when he said, "I'm coming," that refers to his coming in the Holy Spirit. But when the disciples asked him, "What is the sign of thy coming?" it does not refer to his coming in the Holy Spirit. Thank God he has come in the Holy Spirit. He is with us today. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And this is true. But the coming that the disciples ask of him does not refer to this. They refer to the physical coming of our Lord Jesus. As his first coming is physical, so shall be his second coming. As his first coming is literal, so shall be his second coming. So, brothers and sisters, we are not talking this morning about the spiritual coming of our Lord Jesus, his coming in the Spirit. Thank God he has already come. But we are talking about his second coming, just as he came the first time. He will come physically. There will be his presence in this world. And this is the coming that we are considered together. In order to know about the coming of the Lord, I think it is necessary for us to know the word coming. Because in Greek, there are different words being used, translated as coming in the English. Basically, there are three different words. One is parousia. And the coming that is used here in Matthew is this very word, parousia. And parousia simply means presence. So the coming of the Lord actually here is the presence of the Lord. This word is used in the New Testament 24 times. 7 times it is refers to man. But 17 times they all referred to our Lord Jesus. For the sake that you can look up later on, I will just give you the references. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, verse 27, verse 37, verse 39. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 13, chapter 4, verse 15, chapter 5, verse 23, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 1, verse 8, James, chapter 5, verse 7, verse 8, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 4, and verse 12, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 28. Now in these 17 places, the word coming is parousia, the presence of the Lord. Another word used for his coming is apocalypsis. It means uncovering or revelation. And this word is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 and 13. Chapter 4 verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And there is a third word, epiphania. And this word means appearing. It is used in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 8. Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. Now, aside from these three Greek words, there is another word related to the word coming. Is a coma. And that means to come. It is a verb. Now it is very important to understand the word parousia, because the lack of the understanding of the meaning of that word causes lots of confusion among God's people when we talk about the coming of the Lord. So I will give you two definitions about this word parousia. In Vine's Word Dictionary of the Greek New Testament, he said parousia literally is a presence. Para means with, and ousia, being. It denotes both an arrival and a consequent presence with. Paul speaks of his parousia in Philippi, chapter 2, verse 12, in contrast to his apousia, his absence. You know, when he wrote a letter to the Philippians, he told them that he will be present with them. He is expecting to be released from the Roman prison and to be present with them. Just as at the time he was writing, he was absent from them. And the same word is also used to describe the presence of Christ with his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. There our Lord Jesus took three disciples up to the mount, and he was transformed there. And the word used there is parousia, his presence with them. When this word is used of the return of the Lord and the rapture of the church, it signifies not merely his momentary coming for his saints, but his presence with them from that moment until his revelation and manifestation to the world. Now that's mine. Another one, by Professor Wust. He said the word parousia was used in the first century in the East as a historical expression, a technical expression, for the royal visit of a king or emperor. The word means the being beside, thus the personal presence. So we know this word parousia, coming, means the presence. And it is a word that does not refer just to one event. It is a word that covers a series of events. It is a word that does not refer to just one time. It is a word that is used to mean a period of time. And during that period of time, a number of events happen. Sometimes when you read the scripture, when the word parousia occurs, you find sometimes it refers to the signs of the parousia of the Lord. Just like in Matthew chapter 24 verse 3, the disciples said, "What is the sign of thy parousia, thy presence?" Other times you find this word, when the word is used, it is used as the promise of his coming. Where is the promise of his coming? Like in 2 Peter chapter 3. And sometimes this word is used, referred to the fact of the parousia, the very fact of his presence. And other times it is used as how we need to prepare for his presence. Or other times it is used how we shall stand before his presence. And other references you find it is used, what will happen at his presence. So you find the word coming, parousia, actually covers a period of time. And it covers a series of events. It does not refer just to one time or one event. And that is the reason why today we are so confused about the coming of the Lord. Ordinarily, we think of the coming of the Lord as he shall come and appear upon this earth. And we think that is the coming of the Lord. Now, that is true. One day he shall be manifested. He shall appear to this world. But that is only the end of parousia. Parousia has a beginning and has an end. Now, for the sake of understanding, I think the best way to explain it is to go back to the book of Acts. Will you please turn to Acts chapter 1? In Acts chapter 1, we find after the resurrection of our Lord and his appearing to his disciples for 40 days, now he led his disciples to Mount of Olives, and there he was to ascend up to heaven, returning to his Father. So the disciples gathered together before him and asked him, Lord, is this at this time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not yours to know times or seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but ye will receive power, the Holy Spirit having come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9. And having said these things, he was taken up, they beholding him, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing into heaven, as he was going, behold, also two men stood by them in white clothing, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do ye stand looking into heaven? Notice this. This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, shall thus come in the manner in which ye have beheld him going into heaven. The Lord was taken up to heaven. They saw him going up. And then a cloud took him. They couldn't see him, but they were still gazing upward. And while they were gazing upward, two men appeared in white garments and said, Men of Galilee, why are you looking up? The same Jesus who is taken up from you, he shall come back in like manner. Now, in different versions, you'll find sometimes it said in like manner, in the same way, in the way, in the manner. It means the same thing. In other words, the way he returns will be the same way that he goes. Now, how did the Lord Jesus go? You find the Lord Jesus, he was on Mount Olives. And there from Mount Olives, he was taken up. When he was taken up from Mount Olives, leaving Mount Olives, and ascending up, the disciples, they all saw him. And then a cloud took him. And when the cloud took him, could they see him anymore? No. They couldn't see him. But he was still ascending. Now, how do we know that he ascended to heaven? You remember when Elijah was taken up? The sons of the prophets, they did not believe. They told Elijah, allow us to have a search party, because probably God has taken him and threw him somewhere else. So they had a search party, but they couldn't find him, because the Lord had taken him. So, brothers and sisters, we know that the Lord left Mount Olive. We know that he went up. But how do we know that he arrived in heaven? Where is the evidence? How do we know? Thank God we know. Number one, because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit poured down. You know, brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus was taken up to heaven. And there as he entered into heaven, he was anointed by God as Christ the Lord. And in Psalm, we see that picture. As the ointment fall upon the head of Aaron, and it flows down to his beard, and it flows down and cover his whole garment to the very skirt of his garment. Now that is the picture. Our Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven and become our high priest. He was anointed by God. And because he was anointed, the Holy Spirit came down upon the church. So on the day of Pentecost, we find the Holy Spirit came. And that is the proof that our Lord Jesus has arrived in heaven and was anointed as the Lord of the universe, as the anointed one of God. That is one proof. There is another proof. You find in Revelation chapter 5, there you find John in the Spirit was taken up to heaven. And there he saw a replay of the ascension of our Lord Jesus. You find that one was sitting on the throne with a small book in his hand, the title Deed of the Universe. And then you find an angel with a mighty voice proclaiming, now who is worthy to take that book and open the seal? The voice was heard in heaven and earth and underneath the earth. But nobody was worthy. And because of that, we remember the Apostle John, he wept. Because he understood. He understood that this little book is the title deed of the universe. And if there is no one who is able to take it and open the seals, that is to execute the plan, the eternal plan of God, then everything is finished. So he wept. And then he was comforted by one of the 24 elders and said, weep not, because there is one who is worthy. The Lion of Judah. He has overcome. And immediately John saw a lamb, newly slain, standing before the throne. And he took from the hand of the one on the throne that book. And brothers and sisters, what worship came forth in heaven. not only the 24 elders, the living creatures, but there was a proclamation and let the whole universe worship and praise. Because there is one who is worthy, and he is going to execute the plan of God. Now, brothers and sisters, that is evidence that we know that our Lord Jesus has arrived. So you find in his going, the first stage is visible. From Mount Olive to the end. But the second stage is invisible. From the cloud to the throne. Now, these two men said, he will come in like manner, in the same way. Only it is in reverse order. In other words, his parousia, his presence, his coming will begin with his leaving the throne to the air. But that stage is invisible. And then the second stage, he will come from the air to the Mount of Olives, as we find in Zechariah. His feet will touch Mount Olive, and Mount Olive will break into two. And that is visible. So, brothers and sisters, his coming begins with his leaving the throne to the air. And then, from the air to the earth. All these are included in his coming. The parousia, presence of the Lord. Therefore you find it really includes a series of events. You remember our Lord Jesus said, his coming is like a thief. Now in Matthew chapter 24, if you will turn to verse, maybe we'll read from verse 43. Or start with verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not in what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be dug through into. Wherefore ye also be ready, for in that hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Now here the Lord Jesus said, we do not know the hour of his coming. Nobody knows. We do not know the hour, nor the season, nor the time. Only the Father knows. You know, our curiosity really takes hold of us. And we find throughout the 20th centuries among the believers, you find there is always that curiosity of knowing exactly the time, the hour of his coming. And we try to compute and we try to figure out exactly what year or what month or what day or even what hour he will be coming. And in church history you find people have been doing that. And many people have been deceived by that. And even recently, you'll find we have another one. And how even the evangelical Christians, they all, many of them are taken up by it. But the Lord has already told us, you do not know. He does not let us know. And the reason why He does not let us know is that we may be always watchful and be prepared, ever ready. Now, if He should tell us that He will come at A.D. 2000, then, brothers and sisters, we still have a few years that we can live our own lives and do our own things. And when He comes to A.D. 1999, then we wake up. But brothers and sisters, the Lord knows our nature. And that's the reason why He will not tell us. And if He does not tell us, do not try to know it. Because you won't know anyway. He said, His coming is like a thief. Now, if you know when the thief is coming, you will be prepared for him. Now, will the thief blow a trumpet and said, I am coming? You know, today when we think of the coming of the Lord, we connect it with a trumpet. At the sound of the trumpet, then the Lord comes. Now, it is true. He will come with a trumpet. But He said He will come as a thief. Now, strangely, a thief seems to always know when you are not ready. It seems as if he has that instinct. When you are prepared and ready, he does not arrive. But strangely, in that very moment that you are not watchful, he comes and he goes. He will come quietly, secretly, unexpectedly. And suddenly you find He has already come. He has stolen the best and He's gone. That's the way He's coming. Invisible. You know, a thief is always almost like an invisible person. And that is the way that the Lord will come, as a thief. And strangely, he said his coming is like a lightning. You know, if you read Matthew chapter 24, you find that in verse 23, maybe we read a little bit more from verse 21. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. And if those days had been cut short, no flesh shall be had been saved. But account of the elect, those days shall be cut short. Then if anyone say to you, behold, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall give great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. If therefore they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chamber, do not believe it. For as the lightning goes forth from the east and shines into the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. You know, the great tribulation had come. And strictly speaking, this portion must refer to the elect, that is the chosen people, the Jewish people. Because the great tribulation to the Jewish people is Jacob's trouble. So you find in the last days there will be Jacob's trouble as prophesied in Jeremiah. they will go through great trouble. And when they go through great trouble, of course, they expect the Messiah to come to deliver them. And because there is such an expectation within them, so you find there will be false prophets, false Christ coming forth, and they can even perform false wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And there will be these prophets coming and say, "Well, Christ has come, he is in the desert." The Lord said, "Don't go forth." Or some people will say, "He is hidden in the inner chambers." Very mysterious. Don't believe it. Because he said, "When he shall come like a lightning. And when the lightning strikes, it is seen from the east to the west." In other words, everybody sees it. It is public and open. Everybody sees him. That is the way that he will come. Now, brothers and sisters, it seems as if these two metaphors are contradictory. On the one hand, you find he shall come as a thief, hidden, secret, invisible, sudden. And on the other hand, you shall see he shall come as the lightning, public, open, visible. Everybody will know. Now, is there any contradiction? No. The reason is the word coming, parousia, is presence. And his presence begins with like a thief and ends with like a lightning. In other words, brothers and sisters, one day, the Lord will come as a thief. Without warning, without notice, suddenly he will come, and he will steal away those who are most precious to him. One day, suddenly, all over the world, you find many are taken. And that begins parousia. After these are taken to the throne, then you find, as you find in Revelation chapter 12, when a man-child is born, he will be taken to the throne. And there will be war in heaven, in the sky. Satan will be thrown down from the air to the earth. You know the headquarters of Satan today is in the air. And that's the reason why in Genesis chapter 1, when God restored this ruined earth on the second day, when he restored the firmament, he does not say good. Because the air becomes the headquarters of the enemy. He is the power, evil power of the air, ruling over this earth like the air surrounds the earth. But brothers and sisters, there you'll find he will be thrown down from the air to the earth. Why? The air has to be cleared for the Lord to descend from the throne to the air. That is part of parousia. Invisible to man. And when the Lord came to the air, with those that have already been taken, what will happen upon this earth? When you have Satan literally upon this earth, with the two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophets, the trio of evil, what can you expect in this world but the great tribulation? Jacob's trouble. It will be a great trial to those who still remain upon this earth. It will be a great trial to the Jewish people who believe in one God. Because the beast will have his image set up, and everybody has to worship him as God. We'll not allow you to worship any other. The great tribulation will be going on upon this earth. And that is part of parousia. And after the great tribulation, you remember in Revelation chapter 14, you find one sitting on the cloud with a golden crown. He has a sickle in his hand. And the voice came from the throne and said, "The harvest is ready. Throw down the sickle and reap the harvest." Now, who is the one sitting on the throne with that crown? Our Lord. He is to harvest his people. And that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When the dead in Christ shall be raised, and those who live and remain. Now, remember, there is a word said, live and remain. In other words, there will be some living who do not remain. They have already gone. So you'll find the dead in Christ will be raised, and those who live and remain will be transformed, and they will be all taken up to the air, to meet the Lord in the air. Now when that happens, there is the trumpet. The harvesting. And when the whole church are gathered in the presence of the Lord, there will be the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment will begin in the house of God. Now that's included in parousia. And what happened upon the earth? There will be the wrath of God poured forth as the seven vials. The day of the Lord has come. And these are included in parousia. And when these things come to an end, then our Lord Jesus will come with his army, called, chosen, and faithful. And he will descend in great glory. And there will be the last war, the war of Armageddon. Satan will be bound, chained, thrown into the bottomless pit. And the false prophets and Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire. And brothers and sisters, that is the end of parousia. So you find parousia, the presence of the Lord, includes a period of time, covers a series of events. Now, what is the sign of thy coming? The sign of the presence of the Lord. We have a beginning sign and an ending sign. The beginning sign is the rapture of the prepared saints. That's a sign. Brothers and sisters, one day, we do not know when. Probably it is at the most unexpected time. Suddenly all over the world, certain people disappear. Now when this happened, you know, parousia has begun. So far as I understand, there is no prophecy that must be fulfilled before this can happen. Now it is true there are a number of prophecies concerning his coming has to be fulfilled yet. But so far as I can understand, I cannot see any prophecy that must be fulfilled before that sign can happen. It can happen any moment. Brothers and sisters, that is the reason why we need to watch and pray. Blessed are those who are taken. This will be the sign of the beginning of his coming. And there is another sign. At the end of his coming. And that is in verse 30 of chapter 24. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the land lament. And they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We do not really know what that sign is. Different commentators throughout the centuries, they try to figure out what that sign is. You know, at the first coming of the Lord, there was sign. The star of Bethlehem. That's the sign. So some commentators said probably it is the star of Bethlehem. But that does not seem right. Because the star of Bethlehem, only the wise men understand. Other people saw the sign and they didn't know. So it couldn't be, because that sign must be one that people will know right away. Now other people think, probably it's a kind of glory, Shekinah glory. You know, before you see the Son of Man coming, his glory shines forth. And when you see the Shekinah glory of the Lord, that's the sign he is coming. I don't know. And some people said, Unfortunately, I agree with them. Some people said, it probably is the sign of the cross. Why? Because when you read the context, you find when that sign of the Son of Man appeared in heaven, all the tribes of the land lament. And the tribes of the land always refer to the 12 tribes of Israel. And this agrees with Zechariah's prophecy. Brothers and sisters, to the Jewish people, the cross is a curse. They do not accept Christ crucified because they are looking for a Christ that sits on the throne. They rejected him. But one day, when the cross shall appear, they will weep. Because the one that they crucified is their Messiah. He comes to deliver them. And it is then all Israel shall be saved. So, brothers and sisters, it is possible that the sign of the end of Parousia is the cross. But of course, when we talk about the sign of his coming, our purpose is not just try to know these signs. What is the good of knowing signs if you do not learn? What is the good of knowing the time if you do not behave? Solomon said, the wise man's heart knows time and manner. What is important is, in view of the imminent return of the Lord, in view of the coming of the Lord, it can happen any moment, any time. Brothers and sisters, what is our attitude towards his presence? Are we indifferent? We do not care if he comes or he does not come. Our hearts are totally occupied by eating and drinking and the cares of this life, that we do not even think of his presence. His presence does not mean anything to us. We do not miss him. Brothers and sisters, do you miss him? I remember a poem, a hymn, written by our dear brother Washmani. He wrote this after China was occupied by the communists. I do not remember he wrote many verses, but I remember in that poem he said, "Since we part at Bethany," that is, since the Lord has departed, "there is a void in my heart. even though thou art present with me in the Spirit, and yet there is something missing. Brothers and sisters, do we miss him? Are we like the prodigal sons? Wasting all the properties, inheritance we receive. Never think of the Father. What is our attitude? Or are we like the evil servant? Say the Lord delays his coming. Yes, he will come. But he has delayed his coming. He will not come now. He will not come this year. He will not come until after the 20th century. Maybe in the 21st century. And if we have that kind of thinking, that will affect our life. We will beat our fellow servants. We will eat and drink with a drunkard. We will not be faithful, responsible for what the Lord has entrusted us. And in the time we do not expect, he suddenly comes. And how can we meet him? Our brothers and sisters, are we afraid of his coming? We know that he is coming, but we are afraid. Secretly in our hearts, we hope he will not come. Why? Because we are not ready. Or we have some plan that have not been fulfilled yet. Wait until I have finished everything. And then you can come. Brothers and sisters, are we afraid of his coming? Or do we welcome, looking forward, longing, pleading, praying, begging that he shall come? Come quickly, come now. Is that our attitude? As a chaste virgin aspires to a husband, we long for the day of the wedding day. So shall we be as chaste virgins, espoused to Christ, longing for the day of the marriage feast. Brothers and sisters, what is our attitude? He is coming. But do you want him to come? Are you ready for him to come? Do you look forward to his coming? Do you hasten his coming? May the Lord have mercy upon us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee that Thou hast promised us that Thou wilt come back and receive us to Thyself. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee, Thou who art the Bridegroom. He's looking forward to that day when Thou canst receive Thy Bride unto Thyself. But Lord, we who are Thy Bride, we feel ashamed that because we are not ready, we have delayed Thy coming. Lord, we do pray that Thou will create within us a longing for Thee, for Thy coming. Lord, we do acknowledge that even though we do not see Thee, yet we love Thee. And how much better if we can see Thee face to face. O Lord, do create in us such a longing, such a desire. Do restore us that first love, that we may be the people who hasten Thy return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.